So, is there a deal or not? That is the question in Washington today after some leading Republicans balked at President Biden's demand that a new compromise bill on infrastructure be tied to a separate spending bill, one that includes other Democratic priorities like child care and climate change.
And the president is now threatening to veto the infrastructure bill if it's divorced from a bill Democrats are calling family infrastructure.
I expect that in the coming months this summer, before the fiscal year is over, that we will have voted on this bill, as well the infrastructure bill, as well as voted on the budget resolution. And that's when they'll. But if only one comes to me, I'm not. If this is the only thing that comes to me, I'm not signing it. It's in tandem.
Let's bring out our political roundtable now. Alex Thompson is White House reporter for Politico, and Chad Pergram is a congressional correspondent for Fox News. Hi, Chad, and hi, Alex. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having me.
Before we get down to the politics, can you briefly explain for us, Chad, some of the major things in the infrastructure bill?
Well, the thing that we're waiting for is actual bill text. We don't have that yet. We're probably going to get that in July. But this is good old-fashioned infrastructure. We've heard a lot of, crowing about that there's some things that Democrats want that aren't infrastructure in terms of bridges and roads and steel and mortar and stuff like that. So what they're looking at here are actual highway projects. They are looking at actual bridges. At some point, there's probably going to be a list. There's a lot here in terms of how they're going to pay for this, dealing with getting the IRS to be more involved, broadband auctions with 5G and things like that. But we don't have bill text. And until you have bill text, you don't really know what something is. This is a pretty vague agreement. And politically, it is a very brittle agreement.
Let's bring up this issue that Republicans are saying. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell said that Democrats tying bills together is like pulling the rug out from under Republican negotiators. Here he is yesterday on the Senate floor.
Both the Democratic leader and the Speaker of the House made it clear they would hold the bipartisan agreement hostage, demanding trillions of dollars in wasteful spending and job-killing tax increases in return or even considering it.
Alex, Democrats don't need McConnell's vote as long as they have 10 other Republicans, but is this putting the deal in jeopardy?
Oh, it's 100% in jeopardy. I mean, this thing could fall apart over the weekend at this point after Joe Biden did a pretty public victory lap yesterday. The big problem isn't that he's doing both of these bills. Republicans knew that there was going to be another reconciliation bill with trillions of dollars of spending that Democrats were going to try to pursue, even as they did infrastructure. The problem is the veto threat that Biden issued that caught a lot of Republicans by surprise. And a lot of the Republicans that he had negotiated this bill with were caught completely off guard, did not realize that there was a veto threat involved, and believed they were all on the same page. Biden's words yesterday have completely put this deal in jeopardy. And as a result, Biden is in a tough position because he's already done a victory lap on the deal. So if he does not, right now they're trying to say, well, it's not been any secret that he supports both bills. But I'm not sure how sustainable it is, because you could see a bunch of Republicans jumping ship in the next few days unless Biden reverses himself. But if he does, if Biden reverses himself, he's going to get a lot of blowback from the left. So he's in a really tough position, and this deal is very brittle right now.
Well, Democrats are still projecting confidence. Here's Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg speaking to CNBC this morning.
Well, we're doing them at the same time. And I think the fundamental question is not which month, which date, which part of which bill passes. The fundamental question is, are we going to deliver for the American people? And yes, the American people expect and demand that we deliver things like childcare, other things that aren't in this compromise, like improving veterans' hospitals. Of course, we're going to continue working on that. That's how two tracks strategy works. We'll do one part on the one track and the other part on the bipartisan track.
So, Chad, we heard Alex talk to us about the Republican point of view, but what about the Democratic point of view here? Because there's no guarantee that moderate Democrats will all be on board with the idea of passing the second reconciliation bill without Republicans.
And that's where I might quibble a little bit with what Secretary Buttigieg said, because it was pretty clear. He said it doesn't matter the timing. Well, it does matter the timing. This is where you had Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader in the Senate, saying we're going to do these bills together. It's where you had Nancy Pelosi saying, I have to have those bills through first before I even touch them in the House of Representatives. And let's be clear, this creation of this separate $5 to $6 trillion reconciliation bill, as it's being called, and we call it reconciliation because that means they can sidestep filibusters, that is an appeal to the left, because they have to get those members, those liberal members, on board here. And that's why Republicans turn around and ask why they should play along if Democrats are still going to push their big bill. And then, you know, there's going to be, you know, pushes for tax hikes and things like that. And there, and members of the Republican Party probably wonder if Democrats are hoodwinking them. I mean, did they lay a trap here? Because Democrats could then blame the GOP for pushing back from the table and saying, hey, you know, we're not in for that. And Democrats will say, look, you guys came to the table. You're the ones not being bipartisan. Maybe if there is some political gamesmanship going on here, maybe it's because that was the plan all along, that the Democrats were going to do their own partisan bill.
Alex, what is the window of opportunity here, not only for this big infrastructure bill, but for all of the other ambitious projects that the Biden administration and Democrats are trying to get through? Is the window closing?
Yeah, every day that goes by, the window is closing. I mean, we're talking about the end of September, end of October here. And you will notice that the interesting thing about what Secretary Buttigieg said was that he did not reiterate Joe Biden's veto threat. And that is a notable, and you're seeing right now as Jen Psaki takes the podium right before I got on this call, Jen Psaki is also not reiterating the veto threat that Joe Biden issued. So it's becoming clear they're trying not to, you know, have Joe Biden completely walked back his veto threat while also not reiterating it. They are trying to, you know, very aggressively trying to keep this deal together. But to your point, I mean, we're talking, you know, end of September, end of October, probably at the latest, you know, for this window. And then after that, you're into campaign season and you're not going to get any, you know, huge, big $1 trillion packages. It just becomes harder and harder.
Mm-hmm. I want to bring up something else at the time that we have with you two. Yesterday, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced a selection committee would investigate the January 6th attack on the Capitol. That comes 1 month after Senate Republicans blocked this attempt to form an independent bipartisan commission. Here's Pelosi.
We see this as complementary, not instead of, and hopeful that there could be a commission at some point.
Chad, can we get any answers with this selection committee without politics getting in the way?
Well, this select committee, you know, is kind of modeled on what Republicans did to the Democrats, notably Hillary Clinton. It's very similar to a Benghazi committee. Now, there's a couple of things that Pelosi is doing here. Number one, she's trying to gin up support in the Senate, maybe to pluck off two, three other Republican senators. Maybe they can get over a filibuster and actually get a commission like they had the 9/11 commission. But this is a separate track. And basically, Pelosi, you know, she was pretty noncommittal yesterday as to the time of this select committee, number one. Number two, she was asked directly whether or not they should call Kevin McCarthy, the minority leader. Remember, he had this screaming match with former President Trump, and that could be very revealing and pretty damning, frankly. And so when you have something like this that could bleed into 2022, naturally, it's going to be political. The question I would have is, will Republicans play ball? Democrats, when Republicans were in the majority and created the Benghazi committee, they were only tacitly involved in that because they didn't view it as having much credibility. And we wonder if Republicans might, you know, approach that in the same fashion as Democrats did with the Benghazi committee as it pertains to the 1-6 select committee.
And just real quick, Chad, to follow up on what you just said, do you think that House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy could be subpoenaed to testify?
That's very possible. Again, Pelosi was asked that question straight up. You know, one of the key issues in the impeachment trial, the second impeachment trial with President Trump, was this conversation, information that came out from Congresswoman Jamie Herrera Butler, a Republican from Washington State. And that held up the impeachment trial for a little bit to get some of her information into the record. We actually thought they were going to call witnesses and drag this out for 2 or 3 weeks. So that is a critical point, what McCarthy knew, what that conversation was like. And of course, the politics of that is that Kevin McCarthy's view of President Trump seems to have changed a lot from that screaming match on the 6th of January.
Alex, I'm sorry, Tanya, do you want to jump in?
No, please. Please do.
Alex, I just wanted to know if you had an idea of what kind of Republicans you think that McCarthy might want to put on this committee if it happens.
I mean, McCarthy will obviously want to put people that, are going to, I think the biggest priority you're hearing from Republicans, if there is such a committee, is they want this done quickly. They don't want this to drag into election season next year. That was, Mitch McConnell and his allies put it pretty bluntly as part of their rationale for opposing the Senate version. I think, the whole point is the January 6th commission, no matter what, it's not going to be good for Republicans. And they know that. The question is it bad for Republicans in the summer and fall of 2022, or is it bad in the winter of 2021?
Alex Thompson from Politico and Chad Pergram is a congressional correspondent for Fox News. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.